Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Nyland Show podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 15th, 2020. There were some recent updates and various other activities that occurred recently in the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic that Dr. Nyland would like to go over. Dr. Nyland.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I just want to do a few updates on topics that we've kind of already covered, but it's a little bit more detail and a little bit more info on projections on what's going to happen for the rest of the week. As far as the counts are concerned, we're very close to 3,000 deaths again today. Right now, my total is 2,948. Still waiting for the final numbers from California. California lately has been reporting over 40,000 cases a day. The deaths have been slowly creeping up. Just as a review, the two lowest days for the deaths are really on Sunday and Monday. The deaths really aren't real time. They take longer to process. And so there's a limitation in many of the states as to what gets processed on the weekend. And that affects totals for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, because most of these are reflecting what happened the day before. And so the numbers start to increase on Tuesday and kind of peak on Friday. And so today's kind of the first weekday that you get a relatively full count. And right now, the deaths, just as a reminder, the days with the highest deaths are kind of been tabulated recently because the number of deaths broke through 3,000 in one day. That was dramatic because apart from the hurricane in Galveston, the next highest death date was one of the Civil War day, I think it was Antietam or Gettysburg. I think it was Antietam at 3,600 and Gettysburg at 3,100. And so the deaths over 1,000 kind of impinge upon those two dates. They're not going to get close to Galveston. But it's conceivable that by the end of the year, December days with over 3,150 will end up knocking out all of these events from the top 10. The other ones in the top 10 are the San Francisco earthquake, which is about 3,000, and 9/11, which was a little under 3,000. And Pearl Harbor has really already been knocked out of the top 10. That's like at 2,400. So the prediction is that by the end of the year, days in December 2020 will occupy positions 3 through 10 in the 10 events that produce the most U.S. casualty in a 24-hour period. In reality, there's some days from the 1918 pandemic that would be in this range. They didn't really keep records on a daily basis. There's one week where it seemed to have averaged 6,000 a day, and that I think was in November, if not December, of 1918, which was right after the war ended, and there were a lot of parades, which was followed by a lot of cases, which was followed by a lot of deaths. And so there was a spike. That's part of the reason the phrase of lower the curve has come about, because there's a big difference between Philadelphia that had parades and St. Louis that banned parades. St. Louis ended up lowering the curve so that the casualties came in over a longer period and the hospitals were able to manage the explosion in cases, where in Philadelphia they all kind of showed up on the same few days and they overwhelmed healthcare delivery, leading to unnecessary deaths because they really weren't able to give them proper care. So the 3,000 mark is kind of one to see whether essentially all of these events will be eclipsed by days in December of 2020, and those will almost certainly be eclipsed by days in January 2021, and those will be eclipsed by days in February 2021. So it's almost inevitable that that's going to happen, because those that are going to die this month are not only already infected, they're already in the hospital, and most of them are already in the ICU. The ones that are going to die in January are already infected. And the ones that are going to die in February are probably going to be infected this month. And therefore, the vaccine really isn't going to impact any of these numbers to any large degree. There may be some that don't get infected or as sick because they got their first shot. But even those numbers are going to be somewhat limited because the supplies are limited, and the choice of giving vaccines to everyone when they arrive versus giving it to half of the people that are covered by the on-site vaccines, because the vaccines kept in reserve for the second injection for those people. It sounds like that's going to be the plan. There's a possibility that if Moderna gets approved, which is very likely, that there may actually be 20 million doses available by the end of the year, but they're essentially not going to give out all of those at once. They're only going to give out half as many. And actually, they said there might even be 40 million. But they're only going to give out half the amount because they have to give a second shot, and they don't want to basically give it all to 40 million, I should say, and then hope that they're going to get 40 million more doses within 21 or 28 days for the second shot. So they're all going to be giving half the amount. So even if they do reach the high point of getting 40 million in, only 20 million will be vaccinated. And so it will have a limited effect. Those, you know, the vaccines rolling out have started rolling out over the weekend, and people started getting shots yesterday, and the initial shipment was in the 500,000 range. And so this week it's going to be on the lower side, and then should get higher next week, especially if Moderna gets approved. They're lagging Pfizer by a week, and it's expected that they'll follow the same scenario where the advisory committee will vote on Thursday to approve. The FDA will give the approval on Friday, and the CDC over the weekend will basically say who should be getting the vaccines, although they may not go beyond saying that the same people that are getting the Pfizer should get the Moderna, and they should possibly divide it up based on storage. Moderna doesn't have to be stored at the ultra-low temperature, and it might be more appropriate for rural areas that don't have the minus 70 freezers on hand, and therefore they can handle the Moderna shipments. It's still a bit fuzzy if there are delays because of a shortage of protease K. There was some efforts to try to get that clarified, and those efforts were unsuccessful. So it's not really clear if the protease K shortage is leading to delays in manufacturing. The cause of the delays have been not specified. But anyway, if all things go well, there'll be 40 million doses going out. Probably it'll take through January to actually get those into the arms of 20 million recipients, which will largely be healthcare workers and long-term care facility patients. As far as the number of cases are concerned, like I say, today on the deaths, it's up to 2,948. California has given numbers through 552 this evening. They usually keep updating until about 8 o'clock local time. And they, again, they put the final numbers up by 10 o'clock local time. So right now, there have been 30,426 cases in California. Yesterday, there were 42,000. So today is similar to yesterday. There's still another 12,000 cases to go. And so there may be more deaths reported, although there have already been 247 deaths reported versus 155 yesterday. So whether the deaths have all been reported and we're going to end up just shy of 3,000, or whether both deaths and cases are going to still be reported at 25% more than they've already got, that would be like 50, 60 more deaths, and that would bring the day's total over 3,000. They need 52. Anyway, just to give you an idea for the top numbers, for the first time, Pennsylvania is in the lead on deaths. There were 270 deaths reported today in Pennsylvania. Second is California with the 247. Then Michigan is 206, and Texas is 205. So those are the states that reported over 200 today. The other states reporting over 100 today include New York, which is the first time they got over 100 in quite some time. They reported 132, and Illinois, which usually reports more, reported 132 also. Indiana reported 127. Colorado was 116, Missouri's 162, and Ohio's at 103. So some of these numbers are a little lower than they were last week, and it could be because it's just Tuesday, and the numbers will go up Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday will be more reflective of what the numbers are going to be like this week. For comparison, the number of deaths last Tuesday, I think, was around 2,600. So it's about 400 higher today, and that may indicate that the number will get up to 3,500 this week, which is what I predicted last week. So we'll see what happens with the numbers. The actual number of cases wasn't as high as it's been, as 189,000, because it doesn't have a full set from California yet. If they do match yesterday, then that will get up to about 200,000. So 200,000 cases and 3,000 deaths is what the totals for today are going to be. And then the other story that I want to cover tonight really has to do with the strain that's spreading in southeast England and beyond. Actually, it's kind of started making the news a few days ago. There's been concern of a new variant spreading in England, and there's concerns about potentially being more virulent and potentially being somewhat vaccine resistant. And it seems to be spreading very quickly. It has led to a flurry of sequences that have been deposited, GSAD. There have literally been hundreds of sequences from patients who were in the hospital and provided samples this month. So their samples are collected as recently as December 8th. And a very, very large number of samples were deposited yesterday. And these were predominantly in England, in various regions, mostly in the south. And they have a series of mutations in the spike protein. They have quite a few deletions of additional genes a little bit further downstream. And the number of mutations and the number of mutations in the spike protein and the nature of these mutations have all raised serious concerns about this new variant. I had a chance to look at it in detail on GSAD. They added some search functions that you can actually search a given mutation now of the database. And I started doing that yesterday, and I think they added a couple of mutations to the pull-down menu today because I didn't see these yesterday, but it made it a lot easier to kind of do some analysis. And the bottom line is that this strain that's circulating in England is kind of the Italian strain on steroids, if you will. It's the Italian strain, just as a quick reminder, is the strain that came out of Italy. I kind of was calling it the Italian strain so people would have a better idea. It was originally called the G-clade, and it was called that because one of the positions in the spike protein changed from a D to a G, so they called it the G-clade. And then it had some other numbers that were associated with it. It was B1, B1.1.7. Eventually, the G-clade got divided up into three different. There was G, GR, and GH, three different clades. But I kind of put out notice when this virus kind of came to New York. Before it came to New York, it was in Italy, not surprisingly. And it was spreading from Italy. So back in February, you could kind of see all these countries in Europe and Africa and South America and North America, sans the U.S. There were none from the U.S., but there were in Canada and Mexico. We're all reporting these cases of individuals who had visited Northern Italy. The same thing was happening in Europe. And it was pretty clear that there was a major problem in Northern Italy. There were a lot of people that were dying in ICUs, and a lot of people were getting infected because they went to a soccer game or they went on a school trip or they went to a ski resort. And so they went to Northern Italy and came back with COVID. And um, So it was clear something was going on. Then when the sequences started to be released from New York, it was clear that this Italian strain was causing the outbreak in New York, and it spread to New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania, that kind of went up to Massachusetts, and other major outbreaks like New Orleans and Detroit, and eventually Chicago. Chicago kind of started with an ORF 8 clade, and then kind of switched over to the to this G clade or the Italian strain. And I had issued a bunch of alerts about this Italian strain that was causing these major outbreaks. And anyway, the Italian strain kept on becoming more and more prominent, and essentially took over the world. So almost everything now is the Italian strain, that almost all recent outbreaks is the Italian strain. I had the number, I don't have it right in front of me, on how many sequences are at GSAID and how many of them are the Italian strain. It's 267,000 sequences are there. Hold on, let me just pull this up. There's 267,000 sequences that are at GSAID, and the one change in the spike protein that is in all of the Italian strains, I'm trying to find it here on the list of mutations. It's D614G, and like I said, there's 267,000 sequences, and 241,000 of the 267 actually do have this change in the spike gene. The D changes to G at position 614. So that's why it's called the G clade, and that's why you know it took over the world. Essentially, the 20,000 that don't have this are basically older isolates, and anything that's popping up new is going to be the Italian strain. So the Italian strain essentially took over the world, and this new variant that's showing up in England is the Italian strain with a whole bunch of additional mutations in the spike gene. The G clade only had one mutation that actually changes the protein, and that's the one that I just said at position 614, the D changes to a G. But this one in England actually has 9 additional mutations. So there's 10 different mutations. Included are actually 3 deletions. There's 3 different locations. It's at position, 69, 70, and I think it's trying to get this pull down, but it's not cooperating. But there is a third deletion that's in the G protein. And I'm sorry, the spike protein. And I'm trying to talk and get this pulled down to actually show me the list, but it's a little bit fuzzy here on exactly how you get that without logging out and logging back up. But in any event, there are 3 different deletions that are relatively common. The other ones at position 145. So there's 69, 70, and 145. And the virus is circulating really has all three of them. So it's got all three deletions, and then it's got seven others, one of which is the one I talked about, this in the Italian strain at position 614. But there's some evidence that the first two, the ones at 69 and 70, are associated with immunological escape. And there's two different lines of evidence that point in that direction. One has to do with some studies that were done after there was multiple outbreaks in mink farms in Denmark. And when the sequences were generated against the viruses in these farms, what they found was that they were the Italian strain, which isn't a surprise. But they had the first two deletions I mentioned. They had the deletions at position 69 and 70. And they also had a change in the receptor binding domain. And that raised some concerns. So some researchers actually took a look at this virus, and they kind of asked for people that were exposed to other versions of the virus, would their antibodies neutralize this virus? And what they found is if individuals had a robust immune response and they had a lot of antibody, then they had neutralizing antibodies against this this variant from the mink that had these two deletions. But if they had only a modest level of antibody or a low level of antibody, then they didn't really have neutralizing antibodies against this particular variant. So that indicated that these two deletions were able to get rid of a portion of the immune response in some individuals that was pretty much the detectable immune response, and therefore they didn't really react well or at all with these variants. So the two deletions seem to be important, at least in some cases, for the immune response. And that interpretation was actually bolstered by a patient who was immunosuppressed and was infected with COVID and was being treated with convalescent sera. So they were basically benefiting from antibodies that were in other patients who had been exposed to the virus. And when they gave those antibodies, then a variant arose in this person that had those two mutations. And when they cut back on the antibody, the frequency of that particular variant went down. And then when they boosted this patient up with the convalescent serum again, then the virus with the two deletions went back up again. So it seemed that it was selecting. There was a positive benefit to the virus with the two deletions. The serum knocked out the other virus, but it didn't knock out this one. And this one actually killed the patient. The patient did actually die. And it was because it had the virus with the two deletions, which was what they call an escape mutant from the convalescent antisera. So that's the second line of evidence, that having these two deletions indicates that antibodies against the virus that doesn't, various virus sequences that don't have these two deletions don't work as well against this virus with the two deletions. And unfortunately, the virus is circulating in England does have these two deletions. And like I say, they in fact have a third deletion. So they have a deletion of position 69, 70, and 145. And then they also have the deletion defining the Italian lineage at position 614. And then they actually have another deletion. Yeah, I see that one's on the list too now. So they've updated this list. I swear these were not there yesterday. But the other one is in the receptor binding domain. It's at position 501 and it's N501Y. And this particular mutation is also creating concern. And the main reason it's creating concerns is a group from China actually was trying to make an animal model, a mouse model for COVID, so that the mice could be used to look at different sequences and test out those viruses and see what kind of disease they caused in the mice. And normally the mice really weren't that susceptible to COVID. And it's because they don't really have a compatible ACE2 receptor for the virus. So they're fairly resistant to the virus. But what these researchers did is they took a virus and they injected mice. And then they went and isolated virus from the lungs of the mice and then took those virus and injected more mice. And then they collected virus from the lungs of those. And they repeated this six times. And after they did it six times, the virus that they isolated was able to produce disease in mice. And they developed pneumonia, and interestingly, the older mice developed a more severe form of the pneumonia. So they thought that this new virus was mouse adapted, is kind of the terminology the scientists use for this type of virus. So this is a mouse adapted SARS-CoV-2 that could infect mice and could produce disease that was similar to the disease in humans. And when they looked at the sequence of it, they found that it had a change in its receptor binding domain, and the change was, in fact, N501Y. So this particular change led to the mice being able to be infected by a virus with this change. And this change is, in fact, in the virus that's showing up in southern England. Now, unfortunately, it's not limited to southern England. The sequences have been released at GSAT at a very high pace now, and there are isolates from Wales, which is south, but it's really in southwest England, and then same virus is found up in Scotland, which is in the northern part of England, and it's also been identified in Denmark near Copenhagen, and so it's not limited to England, and it's been found in Sydney, Australia. So the virus is not only spreading in England, it's kind of escaped from England. It's in Denmark, it's in Australia, and it's probably all over the place. Its frequency has gone up dramatically in England. In the last 2 months, the number of sequences is very high, both from collected in November and December. it's remarkable because they give the collection date and they can see there's 20, 30, 40 samples all collected on the same day by the same lab, and they all are essentially the same sequence. So this virus is spreading rapidly. The media report said there's been over 1,000 patients that have been identified. My guess is quite a bit over 1,000, just based on the sequences. There's over 1,000 sequences, and they say that the sequences in their database represent about 10% of the patients. So if there's 1,000 sequences and there's 10,000 patients that have this particular variant, and like I said, most of these sequences were collected in November, December. So it's gone up very dramatically, very recently, and it is an ongoing problem. There are sequences collected as recently as December 8th that have this sequence that is not going down. London just switched over to tier 3 level of alert, which is its highest level. So they're essentially locking down London right now. And they're discussing this virus in Parliament. They kind of put out the caveat that they don't know it's more virulent and they don't know it's escaping from the vaccine, but they're also saying, but they don't know that it isn't and it's understudied. So that's kind of what the status is. So the good news is vaccines are rolling out in the U.S. There's still a shortage, but there will be more, assuming Moderna gets it through, there will be more vaccine available this year, and there'll be more that come out in January, and it'll keep on expanding. But how well the vaccine will work against this new variant in England and how controlled it'll be, which sounds like it won't be controlled because it's already in a couple other countries, and that's just on the basis of sequences at GSAT. That doesn't count the sequences that are at labs that they haven't submitted to GSAD yet. And it's not from patients that they haven't got a sequence yet or patients that they're not even planning on sequencing. So there's a lot more virus than there is at GSAD. And it is a recent development. And my guess is the efforts to limit it to England are limited and unlikely to be effective because virus is probably, it's another one, you can close the door after the virus is gone, but the virus is already out the door. So that's kind of what's going on with this variant. It's in the news. There'll be regular updates on this, I'm sure. That's kind of up to the minute explanation of what this virus is and why people are concerned about it and why listeners should probably be concerned about it also. So that's it for tonight.
All right. Thanks for that. That's it for this edition of the Dr. Nyland Show podcast. Thanks for listening and have a good evening.